So as people know, I started Blindfold Games back in 2012, and the short history on Blindfold Games was when my daughter, who's not visually impaired, was coming up on her 12th birthday. She worked on her birthday wish list, and every day about a month from her birthday, she'd write out a new birthday wish list, and then she'd rip up that list and start a new one the next day, and this went on and on up until her birthday arrived, and I thought, there should be an app for that. So I thought I could either create a birthday wish list app and then focus test it with her preteen friends, or make it into a STEM learning opportunity for the kids at her school. So I contacted the head school and I said, I want to run an after school club for about 6 weeks. I'm going to meet with the kids 3 times a week during these 6 weeks for about an hour. And then the kids and I will design a birthday wish list app, and then I'll do the coding at night. So after getting fingerprinted and background checked, we finally got the club off the ground, and the kids and I ended up building out this app. Well, at the end of the semester, the head of school comes back to me and says, Marty, the kids had a wonderful time in the club, and the parents really like what you're doing. Would it be okay if we ran the app club again? He said, sure, I'll do that. And then she said, also, if you drop your daughter off in the morning, would you mind teaching the middle schoolers how to do programming for their first period electives, for those that took it? So I actually want to be an involved parent. So I said yes for the middle school needs as well. And I did that for about 2 years or so before I understood why they have parent volunteers teach a class for these little monsters. And that's because it takes about that long for middle students to calm down before they're ready for their regular education, regular classes, core curriculum. But anyway, when I met with the app club, the kids said, we don't want to build some stupid app, we want to build a game. Okay, come up with an idea for a game. Well, all the game ideas were the same as something in the app store. So I told them, go away, come back in about 2 weeks with some creative ideas. Don't give me clones. They came back and everything was clone. So I said, if I'm going to be programming this thing with my time, I don't want to make a clone of what somebody else has built. So I happened to be holding an iPad in my hand, just kind of twisting it back and forth on the screen, with the screen being off. And I thought, let's do something that doesn't need the screen. And then I said, let's make a driving game for blind people. And I had never met anyone who was visually impaired at that point, but the kids said, well, how would it work? I said, well, I think blind people probably navigate with their ears instead of their eyes, so we'll make a game that does that. He said, well, what do you mean? So I took a girl, I said, you stand in the middle of the room and act like a cow. So she starts mooing. And I told one of the boys, and who was also like in sixth grade, I said, put on a blindfold, I want you to walk up to the cow while you hear her mooing, not touch the cow and get to the other side of the room. And he did that. And I said, the game will work the same way. You'll steer your car like you're holding a steering wheel. There'll be nothing on the screen. If you drive too far to the left, the music will get louder in your left ear. Too far to the right, the music will get louder in your right ear. And you'll aim for noisy prizes like popping the popcorn and above. And avoid obstacles like barking dogs. Well, the kids got it. We end up spending the next 6 or 8 months building out the 60-level game, which we ended up naming Blindfold Racer. Well, once I put it in the app store, it jumped to the top of the accessible app store, so I started hearing from blind people all over the world asking me to make more and more games. And since I was semi-retired at the time, I would pop out a new game about every month or so. After doing it for about 3 years, I started hearing from orientation mobility specialists and teachers of visually impaired students telling me that they're using the games to teach skills to these early kids, these preschoolers in first and second grade, because they're already so far behind their peers because they can't model them. They can't model their parents or their siblings. And these games, they needed the extra work, and these kids were helping them learn things by playing the games. And I think at that point, one of the teachers asked me to make a battleship game. And I said, why? She said, well, in battleship, it helps a child visualize a grid layout. So as they're looking for the other battleships, they would move their finger from A1 to A2 to B2, and that way build up this mental map of a grid. And the same way she asked me to build a 3D tic-tac-toe game, because she said blind people are much better, or blind students are much better playing 3D tic-tac-toe than sighted students are.
We found out that these teachers are using some of our games to teach skills. And then we realized maybe we can actually make a big difference here and start launch us a company that produces educational games for students with vision impairments. So I attended a couple of conferences where these teachers attend, and I said, do you use blindfold games with your students? And I would stop any teacher who walked by. These were all TVIs and O&Ms. And if they said yes, I would interview them for about 5 or 10 minutes and find out why they were using the games and what they found useful in the games. And I learned three things there, which is one, the games are great for teaching different skills like fine motor control or orientation, clock directions, compass directions. The games are a great reward for the students. So when they did their lessons or any other behaviors that they had to do in class, they would let them play these games for a while. And finally, because these are all audio games, the kids were put into a position of leader amongst their sighted peers instead of always being the follower, which is a new experience for a lot of the kids. So with that in mind, I talked to a number of people who ran different lighthouses, a couple of schools for the blind, and we decided to launch the company to really to focus on building out these type of game, what's called a gamified curriculum for visually impaired students. Since I had started other software companies before, I contacted some of the people who had backed me in some other ventures, and we raised some money to launch the new company, which was called Objective Ed. That was back in 2018. So we spent the next 2 years building out the first set of games and all the curriculum. And the general idea is that the teacher uses a web dashboard to set up what skills they want the games to focus on, be it wayfinding or navigation or braille literacy or laterality or directionality or sound identification, any of those things. And then she does that in a web dashboard, and then the kid plays the games on something like an iPad, and the only games that appear on the iPad are those which the teacher has designated for the child to use. And then the child plays the game, and they see, the teacher can monitor the child's progress off of on the web dashboard. That's kind of where we've been doing. And then when COVID hit, we realized we could actually help a lot of the schools out. So we let all the schools, starting in March of 2020, use the whole Objective Ed suite of gamified curriculum for free until the end of the 2020 school year. And we had about 3,000 teachers inquire to be able to do this, about 500 schools signed up and used it. And then starting September of last year, a lot of those schools came back and decided this is not just great distance and hybrid learning tools, but it's also great for reinforcement learning, which was our original idea. Because the kids only see their specialized teacher, the TVI or LLM, once a week, if the kid can play these games to improve their skills between sessions with their teacher, then they would move ahead rapidly. And we found that to be the case. There was actually one special ed director out of a school in Missouri that said one of her students made more progress in one quarter with the Objective Ed games than he did all of last year. So we've won a bunch of awards for this. We've won some government grants and some grants from Microsoft as well to use AI in some of our games. And we're just continuing down that path now.
How big of an operation really is? Is it mostly like, you know, the traditional single man operation, you, yourself, and is it kind of like more collaborative?
So Blindfold Games was just me. I did all the coding. I did all the marketing, everything. With Objective Ed, we have about six software engineers. We have kind of software engineers and game designers doing all the heavy coding and building out all these games. And we have a couple of people. We have a product manager and a couple of salespeople and, CFO and things like that. So the company's about 10 people right now.
Are your games only available to people in education?
Blindfold Games are still available. The Objective Ed games, on the other hand, are primarily sold to school districts on a per-student basis. And the normal price would be $250 per student per year, but it can be reduced if they have a large number of students. And we have a wide variety of technologies available in those games, including one game that uses speech recognition when a child is reading from a braille display and verifying that what the child is speaking as they read the story is the same thing that appears on the braille display. So we're using speech recognition to verify that. And another game that you can just take a sheet of braille and put on an iPad, and the iPad knows what's on the sheet of braille. And we kind of make a gamed experience out of the child doing things with that sheet of braille, as well as lots of wayfinding games and orientation mobility games. So quite a variety of things. I think we're up to about 30 games right now.
Have you thought about, or is there any possibility of marketing these games to rehab centers or people who, you know, adults who are getting used to blindness? Or
we just finished up a government grant project where we built an interactive fiction game. Brian Charlson helped us, was on the design committee as well as Kim was, to teach pre-employment transition skills. So there's an all audio game where you go through this choose your own adventure story. And we're now going back and applying for another government grant to build out more of those games. And we're talking to both the Mass Commission for the Blind, David D'Arcangelo, as well as a couple of the Florida Division of Blind Services, because they want to get involved in getting this into adults' hands as well. Yeah, we get that request a lot of times from teens and young adults who want us to build, want blindfold games to build something like a Minecraft or a Fortnite. But to build something like that from the ground up takes literally hundreds of game designers and software engineers and graphic designers and voice actors and lots of things, which is way beyond our capability. Over time, I imagine more and more accessibility will be built into those games, but it's still quite a challenge.
A question about your blindfold games. What are the top three?
Yeah, Blindfold Race has been downloaded about 75,000 times. Uh-huh. Blindfold Bowling has been downloaded about 25 or 30,000 times. Blindfold Color Crush is kind of like a Candy Crush. That's probably been downloaded about 19,000 times.
I was gonna say, Marty, I love Blindfold Color Crush. I start playing, and man, it'll be 3 hours later and I'm still playing.
I was at some conference, you know, back in 2014 or 15, and somebody said, I'm the person more responsible for blind people wasting time than anybody else in the world.
Before you started your education stuff, how many blindfold games had you logged onto that site?
We produce about 80 different games. All the games you can download and use them for about an hour for free, and then to keep using it after you decide you like it, it's between $1 and $5. Now, the games fall into two different categories. We have a lot of the games that are kind of friendly for kids and not relating to things like gambling or something like that. They're still under the Blindfold brand. A bunch of the other ones are under the kid-friendly software brand, like the casino games, like Bingo or Blackjack. It's called Ears Blackjack or Ears Bingo, whereas things like the baseball game or the basketball game would still be under the Blindfold brand. So Objective Ed actually owns the Blindfold brand because we brought those over with us. But the things that didn't make sense to have in a company that provides products to a school system, like things relating to gambling, did not move over.
Are there any plans to bring over a lot of the games that are not on Android over to Android?
Not in the short term, because all these games were written from the ground up to be under iOS. And whereas with Objective Ed, we're designing the games, the newer technology has come out since Objective Ed was formed, which means you can design a game that can be used under both platforms. When I first started doing these games, you either wrote for Android or you wrote for iOS, and I picked iOS at the time. So we'd have to rewrite all that stuff to get over to Android.
If I wanted to let some TVIs know about obtaining some of the games for their students, how would I do that?
Or they can just visit objectiveed.com or shoot me an email.
Thank you.
My favorite is Blindfold Greeting Card. You know, for a year I was a good family member, sending out birthday cards and everything until I couldn't read them anymore at the CVS, right? And then this way I could still send something a little personalized, you know? Yeah, I really appreciated that.
Thanks.
Does Blindfold Video still exist? Is that still there?
Yes, it is. Blindfold Video is still out there and still free. I forget who it was, but one of our testers, we had about 50 testers at the time when I was doing the games, said that she was out walking her dog, her guide dog, and another dog came over and was like attacking her guide dog, and she was so frazzled she couldn't get her phone out and get, you know, to be able to record the scenario. So she got right a quick app that, as soon as the app starts, it records from the front-facing camera. So that way, even when she's in this really stressed-out situation, she can just make a video of everything going on. So I did that and worked with her to improve it. And now people have used that to ensure that, you know, things like Uber and Lyft don't refuse service.
So as soon as you open the app, it starts recording.
It starts recording, that's right. And then once you, I think, double-tap the screen, it'll ask you, who do you want to send this recording to so you could email it to somebody.
So, Marty, thank you so much. We really appreciate this, and all good stuff, and I'm sure we'll be all downloading those apps.
Oh, well, thank you, and you guys have a great day.